Good morning. How is everybody doing this morning? Finally got rid of the freezing temperatures. Had some nice days this week. That was nice. Is everybody getting well? Man, there's been a lot of sickness going around. I can shake your hand this morning. Jody, I'll shake your hand. You won't even get sick this week. If you are visiting with us this morning, we really are glad that you're here. And I mean that. It's not just something I say. I'm really glad you're here. I believe that our church is glad that you're here. I hope you feel the presence of Christ in this place and the love of His people. If you would like us to know you were here, it's okay. If you want to fly under the radar, we allow that as well. But if you don't mind us knowing you were here, there's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you, and invite you to fill that out, and we will have record of your attendance, and I promise we won't stalk you or bug you or do anything weird, but just like to know that you're here. If you want to be added to our email list, we have an app. You can do Wiley Methodist in the App Store and find our app, and you can download our app and all sorts of things on there, all sorts of little goodies, and we communicate through that, but also through our email. If you want to be on that list, you can write your email down, check the little box, I want to be added to the email list. I try to just put out an email, try to do one a week, and then if something special comes up, I may do a second one during the week. But just glad that you're here. Hope you feel Christ's love in this place. If you will turn to John 13. John 13. Now, I'll set the stage here a little bit for this passage. This is what's come to be known as the Last Supper. He's in the upper room with his disciples. The next day he will go to the cross for our sake, and this is his last moment before the cross with his disciples. And we pick it up in chapter 13, verse 1. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and would go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Now, that's important for us to know. Judas is still in the room. Okay? He has not left at this point. He's still in the room, and Jesus knows what he's up to. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Then Lord, Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." I'm going to skip down to verse 34. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Without you here, we're just fellowshipping. But if you come, Holy Spirit, if you speak, you can change us. You can transform us. So come and speak in power and authority. In Jesus' name, amen. I tried to play this little video two or three months ago, and we had some technical difficulties. It came up to my mind again this week. How many of you have watched the show House Hunters? Most of us, a bunch of us. If you haven't watched it, it's basically this little show, just kind of fun, and you've got this family that'll come, and they'll find a realtor, and they'll take them around. They tell what they're looking for in a home, and they take them to three different homes, and they talk about the things they liked and didn't like about each house. And then they, at the end of the show, they'll pick a house. And I ran across this little video. I want you to watch it.
Nick and Molly just moved to the city and can't agree on what they want. They're young and energetic and looking for a new church home. We'll take some personality tests, tour the sites, ask some questions, and based on taste, experience, and location, we'll find them the perfect congregation. I'm Corey Clark, and welcome to Church Hunters.
We're so excited to find a church. We just started dating.
With the churches we go to now, just not, like, for us, just not really doing it for us, you know?
Right. I go to a satellite campus. I just find it hard to connect emotionally with a video screen. It's just...
Okay, you cry during cake, boss. So, like, we've been doing a lot of services online, a lot of podcasts. There are a lot of preachers we do like.
Really good, but we want serious yet funny.
Yeah, like commanding of the stage yet relatable, you know?
We're more looking for the humor of Andy Stanley with the body of Stephen Furtick.
Hey guys,
what's happening?
I'm Corey.
Good to see you. My name's Nick. This
hey,
is Molly.
Hey guys, welcome to Church Hunters.
This is your first church. This is Creekside First Baptist. So while it is traditional, it's still pretty current. Just this year, the pastor started untucking his shirts.
Oh, wow. That's good.
Big deal. He does dress his age though, so don't worry. He's past the Osteen suit phase, but he hasn't gone full Giglio yet.
Because there's holes in the knees or no?
Well, it's frayed, but no holes.
Frayed? No, okay, got it. Yeah. Perfect.
So hey, let me show you around. Okay,
right, let's
come on.
Do it.
I do love this lobby.
It's a great lobby, you know, it's not too big, not too small.
Yeah.
Should be enough room to catch up, chat with your friends.
Great.
But here's a great thing. There's a bunch of side exits, so if you need to leave early and catch the game, you can do that.
Got it.
Yes.
Wow. Honestly, right up front, didn't love the name.
No, First Baptist, who names a church that anymore?
Not these days. We're looking for like a Thrive Church, maybe Relevant Church, I don't know, Radiant Church, something.
This is the soundboard they use here. Now remember, it's pretty traditional here. So when Sunday comes around, they turn it way down low.
Got it.
But the one knock on this church, they still use the childcare numbering system on the screens.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. Or as the moms like to call it, the sanctuary walk of shame.
Yeah. The Sunday morning experience was just a little too traditional for us.
I mean, the pastor's main point, 157 characters. I can't tweet that.
I really think you guys are going to love this place.
I like
it. We do. We like
it. Feels
great. Yeah.
You know, it's diverse, but it's not like too diverse, you know?
Scripture heavy sermons?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
What about, is it community oriented?
Absolutely.
Great.
Oh, women in ministry?
The parking situation, you guys gotta see it. Super rare nowadays.
Come with me.
There's like a maybe for when my parents come into town for a church for Christmas. Easter type of church.
Like a holiday type church.
One of the main reasons that I love this church for you guys is that on your personality test, Molly, you scored high in service and hospitality.
Oh, babe.
There's a great welcome team you could join.
Perfect.
Okay.
And then Nick, you scored really high in need for accountability.
Wow.
And the men's groups here are amazing.
You just gonna put that out there?
Hey, God knows your heart, okay? On the next episode of Church Hunters, I think you're really going to love this place. They take relevance to a whole new level. This This church identifies as inter-non-denominational. This pastor speaks out of a brand new translation. It's the Tumblr Bible.
You know, they're trying to be silly, but there's a little truth in there, isn't there? So, has anybody else noticed that whether we're talking about church or really any phase of our lives, we live in a me society, don't we? What does, you know, I mean, I see it back when the girls were younger, I used to coach them and do some youth sports coaching and stuff. And I can remember just the jockeying, you know, like in our basketball league. I can remember, you know, the coaches jockeying to get the better athletes. And like this one instant, the guy was, the coach was like, this guy, you know, he's a friend of my son's and he can't get a ride. And it's like, this guy was definitely the by far the greatest athlete in the whole league. But he needed a ride. This coach was going to help him out and get him a ride. I mean, it's like, we're always jockeying for, something. What's in it for me? That's our culture that we live in. What's in it for me? I've made reference to this before, but probably, I think one of the greatest opening sentences of any book I've ever read was Rick Warren's Purpose Driven Life. It's not about you. And so when we come into this, to the Christian journey, when we come into the Christian life, it's not about us. It really isn't. But we, so many times, we make it about us. So I'm starting a sermon series today. I'm going to be speaking for a few weeks here. And the sermon series is called Count Me In. Count Me In. And today's message is Consumer or Servant. Consumer or Servant. So I want to start off by asking you that question. And you just answer it in your own mind and be honest with yourself, because nobody else is in there, you and God. Are you a consumer or are you a servant? Want that to soak in for a second. Are we a consumer or are we a servant? Consumerism has a preoccupation with acquiring, a preoccupation with self. Servanthood is... means to answer the needs of others. So is our focus on ourselves or is it on others? Is consumer servant? Consumerism comes really naturally, easily. We don't have to try to be a consumer. I mean, it's a pretty normal, spontaneous response. Servanthood normally requires choice. We choose to be a servant. And it's generally costly to be a servant. Consumerism doesn't cost anything. It's because you're just trying to acquire. So I'm just getting honest with you here. I'm going through a process. I've been pastor here for 16 and a half years, and hopefully in a year and a half I will be fully ordained by the United Methodist System. So. It's just a small little process I've been going through. But this last 2 years of that process, I have become what they call a provisional elder. And I'm going through this process, I kind of make fun of it, but there's some good things that come out of it. And one of the things that comes out of it that's been good is I've been meeting with a committee to talk about ways that I can do better and different things like that. I've also been talking with a retired pastor that I respect a great deal and kind of having some consultations with him. And I had my first one of those with him about a month ago, and he asked me a couple of questions. The first thing he said was, what's the greatest joy that you have of being a pastor? What's your greatest joy? It was probably a little bit longer answer, but basically I said, serving beside some of the most awesome people in the world, some people that are just true servants that get it and that are loving. And I am a perfect example of this. Just this past week, we through this church, through your giving, and some of you gave some furniture, but others, you, when your financial giving and just the heart of this church, because I knew I was free because of the heart of this church to be able to do some of these things. We had a mom and her grown daughter that had been burned out of their home a few months ago by fire. They had no association with our church. I received a phone call one day, and she starts telling me her story, and I really felt like this. I just felt convicted that this family just needed a hand up to get started back in life. They've been living from motel to motel, and they had a little bit of income, but they didn't have enough to put down deposits and get back into a home. And so I put out a word to the church. We put this mom and her daughter. We got them into an apartment. Got paid the first month's rent, paid a deposit to get them in, furnished a two-bedroom apartment for them. They had zero furniture. When I went over there, they had a blow-up mattress in one bedroom, and the mom said she slept on the floor. And we got them set up with a couch, a love seat, end tables, coffee tables, bedroom furniture, beds. Dining room table and so forth, and set them up, and now they're established for the first month, and they can start making payments. And both of them, the mom and the daughter, were just weeping. We don't do that without you. First of all, for your financial faithfulness allows that to happen, but also I know that's the heart of this church. To do that sort of thing. So I know I have the freedom. A lot of pastors don't have the freedom. They've got to go back and it's got to run it through 9 committees and so forth. I know I have the blessing of this church because we've got like $75,000 set up in our budget for outreach like that every year. And so I know that you guys are serving. So the greatest joy, I answered, the greatest joy is I serve alongside some of the most awesome people in the whole world. And it brings me great joy. And then he turned it and he said, "What's the toughest struggle that you face being a pastor?" And I said something to the effect of, "The ones that don't get it. The ones that don't get it. The ones who have a toe in the water." It breaks my heart. It really does. It breaks my heart. And that's the hardest thing. I tell Cheryl all the time, you know, pastoring would be easy if you didn't care. If I didn't care what happened to any of y'all, this job would be a breeze. You just throw some programs together and you just kind of go through the motions. I mean, if I didn't care, it wouldn't be anything to this. But when you care, it changes things. We are called to be servants, not consumers. And when we miss that, it breaks God's heart. It breaks my heart as well. So I want to step through some points here that tie back to our, as we kind of unpack this scripture a little bit. First thing, we are called to serve. We are called to serve because Jesus serves. I mean, the essence of who Christ is a servant. He says in Matthew 20, Jesus said this himself about himself. "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." And probably one of my favorite scriptures in all of God's Word is Philippians 2. Anybody else like Philippians 2? What an awesome passage, but I'm just going to read 2 or 3 verses here. Philippians 2, 5. "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." I mean, that's we should be just like Jesus. If we're Christians, if we model ourselves after Him, we should be just like Him. "Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped." So it's saying that Jesus had, he was God. By very nature, He was God, and He had every right to be high and exalted when He walked on this earth. But it goes on to say, "But He made Himself nothing." He deserved to be up here, but He made Himself nothing, taking the very nature, here it is, of a servant. "Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." Now, so as we think about, now let's go back to our question, are we consumers or are we servants? Doesn't sound like Jesus was a consumer at all, does it? So if we're following the example of Christ, we serve because he serves. It's his very nature. And then secondly, we are called to serve selflessly after the example of Jesus. Selflessly after the example of Jesus. Now this, so we flash back to this scene, this upper room scene. In the first verse it says, so he's sitting there, he's gathered around his disciples, and he knows that the very next morning they're going to drag him to the cross. Actually, he's going to go willingly to the cross, but they come and arrest him. And it says, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Don't you think if there was ever a moment that Jesus had every right to be self-consumed, it was at that moment? And yet, it says, in that moment, that Last Supper with his disciples, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Verse 14, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Now, you think he's really talking about that we need to go around and find people to wash their feet? I mean, physically? I've done that before. I've had my feet washed, and I've washed feet before, and it's really, I'll tell you what, Cheryl will tell you, I'm not a foot person. That's the first thing. I mean, anyway, that's another story. I don't have like a phobia, you know, so like if I ever see your bare feet, I'm not going to run out of the room screaming or anything. But I'm just not a foot person. But I've had both. I've washed people's feet and I have had my feet washed. And I will tell you, the washing of my feet is much harder to get through than the washing of someone else's feet. There is a, like, wow, man, my nasty old feet, you know? And they're washing my feet. And can you imagine the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, coming around? That's what Peter was saying. No, you're not washing my feet. Jesus said, no, you don't understand that I'm setting you an example because I want to show you, I want to demonstrate to you what you're supposed to do. And it's not just the physical act of washing feet. It's being a servant. So thirdly, we are called to serve to demonstrate that we are disciples of Jesus. It's the proof. You heard the old saying, there's proof in the pudding. It's the proof that we belong to Jesus, that we're his disciples. When we serve, it's proof. It demonstrates to the world who we belong to. In this verse 34, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. So this act of loving through servanthood, Jesus says, that proves to the world you belong to me. And also, I would go on to say that it also gives him glory. I tell people all the time that when we are, you know, when we're out passing out turkeys on Thanksgiving to the Carver neighborhood, or when we're at the food pantry, or when we're remodeling a house, or we go to Houston and we help folks with the flood, you know, we're really not there to rip out sheetrock. That may be what we're doing, but we're really there to show them that Jesus loves them. Jesus has not forgotten them, to demonstrate that we are disciples of Jesus. This event, I'm fixing to play you a video. This event happened about 8 years ago or so. We used to have a man in our church that used to conduct the men's, Ransom Heart Weekend, isn't that what they called it? It was just a men's retreat weekend. And several of our men have been on these retreats, and he would usually take, you know, six or eight people each time. This particular event, I was not there. I just heard about it later. I was not at this particular one. And these men, Lee Butler, Lee, and I've asked Lee's permission to share a little of this. Lee, raise your hand back there. Lee's back in the sound booth. Lee has the walker, and he has a condition called ataxia. Ataxia affects from what I understand, Lee, you can yell at me. He does that sometimes, yells at me. If I get it wrong, but the nerve insulation around the nerves starts deteriorating, and it messes up coordination and speech and balance and eyesight and different things like that. And so Lee has had this condition. It's hereditary in his family. He's had this condition for many years. I knew Lee when Lee didn't need a walker, when Lee didn't need a cane. We met back in the in the early 90s. And I have seen the disease take things from Lee over the years. And I got to tell you, I admire him so. I admire him so to still press on and serve the Lord and do the things that he does. But anyway, so Lee and these other men, they're on this retreat. And one of the things they do on the retreat is they take an afternoon and there's this cliff area that you can do a little day hike. And it's about a mile or two. The first of it is just a slight incline. And then the last few hundred yards is a really steep incline. You're going to see this on this video. And Lee had his walker and really had no business making this walk. And the men, I think, convinced Lee, and he probably wanted to give it a go, was like, we can get you up there, Lee. We can get you up there. Remember Jody? Jody was on that trip. And so I ran across this video, and I want you to watch this video and watch what's taking place. Go ahead, Lee.
Of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back. I know you are near, and I won't fear.
at the top of that trail, there was it came to a point where there was a cliff, and the purpose of making that journey was when we got to the top of the cliff, we were encouraged to rappel. You could rappel down that cliff now, and it was a really a beautiful area and very scenic, and you can kind of look down over the valley and stuff. And what struck me was these men didn't want Lee to miss it. They didn't want him to miss it. I got to say on a funny, now that everybody's crying, on a humorous note, I hear this story. Jody, I'm fixing to throw you under the bus. Are you ready? At the very end of the trail, Jody's got a hold of Lee, and he's kind of walking him to the van. And all of a sudden, and I think there might have been somebody else on the other arm, and somebody said, "Snake!" And they scattered. And Lee's doing one of these deals. I mean, servanthood has its limits, I guess. It turns out it was a stick in the trail. Man, we really thought you were a godly person, Jody, until you yelled snake. They just wanted him not to miss it. Servanthood. Are we servants or are we consumers? You know, the Lord has been convicted me of that. You know, the thing about pastors, we have a funny way. It's just kind of inbred into what we do. We count money and noses. I mean, that's, you know, you want your attendance to be good. You want the finances to be good. And it's just, you know, something that kind of, you have to battle as a pastor. And the Lord convicted me. Are you a servant, Jeff? Do you trust me? I am challenging you and inviting you next Sunday. There's a little church called Bethel United Methodist Church, a little Hispanic church on North 12th and Willis. And that church struggles. It's a great church. You've got a great pastor, but they struggle financially. Marcy Garza is the pastor. She's reached people that I could never reach, that Wiley Methodist could never reach. We actually, about 3 or 4 years ago, gave them a van that we were replacing. We gave them a van because they were making several trips each Sunday to go pick people up and bring them to church. And so now they have a van to do that. So we've blessed them some financially each month. But I'm challenging you. It may just be me and you next week. I'm challenging you, our congregation, and I'm going to put it out as an email as well, to go to church at Bethel United Methodist Church next week. Hello. I'll be here. And I'll have a sermon. Larry, you can come listen to my sermon if you want to. But I'm challenging you to go. And Trevor, if you just do an acoustic set next week, you'd be okay? I got a thumbs up. If the praise team wants to do it, Trevor gave a thumbs up. We'll make it work. Not only go to their church next week, but tithe at their church next week. They have this little church. They do meal fundraisers every week to try to pay the bills. They make enchiladas or they make hamburgers or they do tacos, something. They make these, some of the leadership in their church, they make these and they try to sell them just to pay the bills. They need encouraging. They need some servants. And I know if you end up changing churches and go to Bethel, I'll bless that as well. I hope most of you will come back. But I'll be here. We'll have church as usual here. It may be a little modified, but I would love it if there were standing room only over there. I would love it if half of our people were at Bethel next week and financially was faithful to them next week? Are we servants? Are we consumers? Is it about us? Is it about Wiley Methodist? Or is it about the kingdom? Throw that slide up there, Lee, if you would, of my pastor's information. Most of y'all should know, all of our staff, one more time, I think, Lee. There you go. All of our staff, our emails are our first initial last name at WileyMethodist.org. That's consistent for all of our staff. That's also my cell number there. I would like to know if you're going over there for mainly, it'd bless me to know that we have a whole bunch of people going. But also, I want to let Marcy know so they can have adequate nursery, adequate bulletins and those kinds of things. I've told her that some may be coming. I said, I don't know, Marcy, if it'll be 10 or if it'll be 100. I don't know. I told her I'd try to give her a heads up. So please let me know if you plan on going, just so that I can give her a heads up of a head count. that's for me, that's radical stuff. I've never invited somebody to go to another church besides ours. But they need to be encouraged. Are we consumers? Are we servants? Just if you'd bow your head with me. Lord, I pray that you would convict us. Father, truth be told, probably all of us fit into both of those categories at times. Sometimes we're servants when it works out, and sometimes we're consumers when we want to be. We make those kinds of choices. Father, give us your heart. Jesus, give us your heart to serve and not worry about being served, to be an example of your great love, to symbolically to wash feet, to become the lowest of low and humble ourselves for your sake and after your example. Father, I pray even now that you'd begin to show people in their mind if they're supposed to go to Bethel next week. Just begin to kind of prompt people if that's your heart for them. Lord, we need you. We love you. Help us to be a servant like you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we close today, I believe our last song is Because He Lives. Because He Lives, we can do everything. Because He Lives, it says we can face tomorrow. Jesus is good. Amen? Let's stand as we close. I'll be up front if you would like to pray or talk with me before or after we finish this song.
sing that again.
Next week starts at 11 o'clock, and it's at North 12th and Willis, Bethel United Methodist. The pastor is Marcy. Let her know that who you are and that you've come to bless them. It's at 11 o'clock. Jesus himself said, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. So go and be a servant. Go and love someone. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
Because